Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, with you yesterday. Oh, yesterday was Wow Wednesday. It was a wow moment. Yesterday, yes, it was great. We started off with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And as you know, Vivian always gives us that update on those COVID numbers. And Florida is wild, 157,000 plus people infected with COVID in 1 week. Yes, I said it, 7 flat days. Oh, my goodness. Listen, just let your plane fly straight over Florida. Let the bus drive around Florida. Let the train go underground past Florida, because, man, you just don't even want to get none of that Florida air. Can you believe it? Well, Texas is not all that far behind them with 88,000 plus. Cali, 51 plus thousand. What? Oh my good! You know, we're just gonna be walking COVID. That's what we're gonna be called. We're not gonna be called humans much longer. We're just gonna be called COVIDians. How about that? Oh my goodness gracious! Can you believe it? Well, I can't. Man, I tell you. If you don't have COVID and you live in Florida, then you know you are blessed somebody, because there ain't nowhere in the world. Just to breathe must be you're getting infected out there. Man, oh man, oh man. Well, if you follow the socially conscious movement over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph, then you would know that, yes, Governor Cuomo resigned. Yeah, he had to bite that bullet. When you got that much ammunition against you, yeah, you're going to have to go sit down somewhere. Yeah, and it ain't in the governor's seat any longer. Yeah. Well, the proof for vaccination, or proof of vaccination, is smoking through New York City's employees. Yes, the employers have decided that if you still want to work for them, you're going to have to get that big V. Yep, vaccinated, you're not going to be able to walk around and say, you know, well, give me that COVID test. You know, I'm going to see if I pass. No. They are mandating that the employees get vaccinated. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it makes sense. If you're about to shut us down as of next week, if we don't have a vaccination, then guess what? You won't have to do that to your employees. Because, see, I'm not going to be mandated to have a vaccination and then your people breathing all over me. Nah. Come on. Yeah, so that's what it's come to. And it's, you know, it's a little hard thing to accept for some people, but guess what? What you gonna do? I don't know. Because it's tight. Yeah, things are happening now. And, you know, we are definitely having to do things differently now. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to put a pin right there because I've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about before the Due Time Crew comes on. So I'm not going to be able to load us up on yesterday's recap. Listen, go back and listen and see what you missed, because I tell you, the women of worship were on point yesterday, as always. And we had a wonderful conversation yesterday. Yes, we had a nice old time. We had our friend Dwayne stop by and give us our Techie Talk segment. And we closed down nicely yesterday, as we always do on Wednesday. And, Wednesday. And that's our Faith Over Fear segment with our pastor, Charlotte Beard. Yeah. So, yes, her name is Pastor Charlotte Beard. Yes, I know we always say Pastor Charlotte and things like that. But, yeah, she does have a last name. So, yeah, just in case you forgot, I reminded you. So that's how we closed out our Wow Wednesday. Today, Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, we are talking about our health today, whether it be our mental health, emotional health, our physical health, and definitely the spiritual health. Yes. And you know what I love about this show? We find a way to talk about the health. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, we have given a new name to health over here. Yeah, because, you know, at one point before we got here in life to its due time with Pastor Steph, you know, it just appeared as though health was your physical health. But, man, we didn't find a way to twist that thing around. And, so many things contribute to your emotional and mental health in life. And now that God has turned this around to, like, news, and let me tell you something, because this world is full of people and some interesting individuals, oh, you'll never run out of anything to talk about. You must be kidding me. All you got to do is look through the news. Yes, you'll find anything to talk about because the Bible addresses everything. Yes, everything, no matter what you will go through in life. That Bible talks about it. And therefore, we as ministers will always have something to talk about. Yes, now it may not sound like it sometimes, I gotta admit, because this group has a way of putting a spin on things. But listen, that don't mean it ain't what it is. Yes, I said it just like that. It ain't what it is, okay? So let me tell you, we're about to take that break. And I need you to get those pens and papers, because if you were listening on Tuesday, we started a list, okay? And it's a list I think you're going to find quite handy, as you know, as well as all the other lists. And we're going to get that PSA, you know, that little announcement, that health announcement, that news announcement, something like that. And I want you to take the time to call a friend. Text a friend. Do something with a friend that lets them know. Send out a smoke signal, two cans and a string. I don't care what you do. Just let people know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. Okay? And they're missing it. And when they get on, they better come on with a pen and a piece of paper because, you know, this group always gives you reasons to take notes. They sure do. So, come on, come on, come on. Come one, come all. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty and get down to this episode of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, yeah, we'll be right back.
The outbreak of COVID-19 has affected people across the nation. The rapid numbers and urgency for life-saving healthcare can give a small insight into the difficulties that people living with blood cancer and blood disorders deal with year after year. For many patients, right now, life-saving bone marrow donors are more crucial than ever. So we need your help. By spreading the word and encouraging action today, you are offering hope to all those fighting blood cancers and blood disorders. Visit DKMS.org to join the fight.
Well, good morning to you, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual. Yes, we cover it all. Yes, 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 yes. Somehow or another, we get it all in, and there's no reason why you can't catch up. Yeah. Nah, come on, come on, come on, come on. How are you today? Fine, yes, I love it. I love to hear that answer. I love to hear that answer. Get them pens up. Get those pens up. We got a list that we're continuing today, and we got some news we're going to talk about, and you know what? We're going to put a little spin on it today. You know, we're going to do news a little differently today. At least that's the intent, to do it a little differently today. And, you know, try to give it that mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual spin. Because, you know, we found that just life, man, life will take you through some things. And you wonder, you know, you thought that it was just mental, but then it ended up being physical and spiritual. Yeah, it just, life just does that to you, and you don't know which uppercut you're going to get from one moment to the next. And we're here to help you get through it, okay? Yeah, God has given us a much broader issue in our heads and in our lives. And in our hearts, and in the Word. Oh, did I catch all four of those just like that? Yes, I did. See? That's how we do over here. We get real creative. All right? So, come on, get them pens up. We got a list that we have to continue, and we're going to finish this list today. And we're talking about, the foods that almost never spoil. Yes. Yes. Okay. So we did the first five: bottled water, sugar, low acid canned goods, soy sauce. Yeah, and rice and dried pasta. We did the first five. Yes, those were our first five, just in case you weren't here on Tuesday. Well, ready for the next one? All right, the next one. Dry beans. Oh, yes. You know those dry beans like pinto beans, great northern beans, lima beans, black beans, all the beans put together, everything beans. Yes, the beans that you buy in a bag, either they're by Jack Rabbit or Goya. Come on, act like you know. I'm not the only one in here that went and bought a bag of dry beans. Well, listen. They say those beans can last up to 2 years, okay? 2 whole years. Now, I know 2 years are going by quickly, but ain't going by that fast. We can hold on to them beans. So if you see those beans on sale, black eyed peas, man, you better grab them, because I remember one time I went out here for New Year's. Yes, I do. I do like to cook. You know, that special, you know, my little thing I do at the beginning of the year. I always have my black eyed peas. And can you believe that 1 year there were no black eyed peas? Oh my goodness. I thought I was gonna have a fit. And I managed to scrounge up in somebody's supermarket the black eyed peas in a can, and I was like, oh, this is killing me. So listen, I said all of that to say, if you see it today, get it, because it may not be available when you want it, okay? And you can hold it up to 2 whole years. Next, number 7, honey. Whoa, yes. They say as long as you keep honey in a cool, dark place, you good. It is totally safe for 2 years. Yep. 2 whole years. Honey, another 2 year stinter. Okay, yeah, you know, that's just me. I'm in good spirit today. I'm tired as heck, but I got the spirit up today. And we're gonna talk about number 8, canola oil. Now, listen, they have smashed canola oil. You ain't been paying attention? Yeah, they just smashed canola oil. But if you just happen to have canola oil and you're like, Pastor Steph, I ain't throwing nothing out. Yeah, we're going to find a way to get this done, even if I use it in teaspoon increments. 2 years. Another 2 yearer. Yes. Okay. Come on now. You ready? We're going to get that next thing going on. Number 9, dried fruit. Oh, baby. So this is one of those things that you can go to Sam's, Costco, BJ's, and buy in the big bulk bag, because dried fruit, they say, can last in between a year and 2 years. So you can go ahead and buy, because by the time you can finish, you know, picking at it, you know, it'll still be safe. Okay? They say if you want to keep it even longer, freeze it. Now, baby, don't forget to let it thaw out, because dried fruit is already hard for those of us who don't have those great teeth. And you don't want to bite down on that. Okay? Number 10, tea bags, yes, tea bags, okay, 3 years, if the box is unopened, 3 whole years, yep. Now, they say if the box is open, the bags will last up to 18 months. Yes. Okay. That's a long time. That's a long time. Listen, you just got to pay attention to this stuff. You know, because remember, a few weeks ago we talked about stuff that kind of breeds like its own bug and things like that. So you want to make sure that you're keeping these things also stored properly. Yeah, it's one thing to be able to say these things can last up to this year, that year, these amount of months. But if you're not keeping it stored properly, yeah, it's not going to have that longevity. And last but not least, this is great news, hemp and chia seeds. Yes, they say it can last forever. Yes, just keep it in an airtight container in your refrigerator. Yeah. Well, forever is a year. And that's a long time to be able to keep something in your refrigerator for a year. And it ain't going to get green, ain't going to mold, ain't going to smell, and ain't going to be slimy. Because that's the only way something gets thrown out in this refrigerator. Yes, talk about me if you want to. But, you know, my family... Yeah, my kids, they just so bougie. After a couple of days, they're like, we don't eat that no more. I don't like that. That's old. That rice is old. Yeah, you know, like they go make a big pot of rice, and then in 2 days, they want rice, and I'm watching them pull rice out. Oh, we got a whole thing of rice still in here. That rice is old. It's only Wednesday, and you made the rice on Monday. Have you lost your mind? Well, yeah. So for those who are bougie, this list is an eye-opener for you. No, stop throwing stuff out. It can and will last. Okay? All right. So let me just give you that list again. Ready? All right. Here we go. I'm going to give it to you from the top for those who joined us late. Bottled water, sugar, low-acid canned goods, and that includes, let me read it to you, meat, beans, peas, soups, vegetables, and tuna fish. Those are the low-acid canned goods. Meat, such as like, what you call that thing? Beef. What's the beef? The spicy, the salty thing. I can't think of it. But that beef, beans, peas, soups, vegetables, and tuna fish, those are your low-acid canned goods. They can last in between 2 to 5 years. The high-acid canned goods like tomato sauce, canned fruit, that can last up to 18 months. Soy sauce. Rice and dried pasta, dry beans, honey, canola oil, dried fruit, tea bags, hemp seeds, and chia seeds. All of those things can last in between a year to 5 years. Just go do your research. Okay? Yeah, so we don't have to keep shopping. Keep shopping. Just make sure you buy the right stuff. Okay? Alrighty. Don't say Pastor Steph didn't save you a couple of dollars. Like I said, if you're bougie, like my kids and some other people I know, my sister, yeah, she make food and she's like, okay, somebody want this macaroni and cheese? I made it on Sunday. Well, it's only Tuesday. We got at least another 2 weeks. You should see them looking at me like, no, you're crazy. Yeah, you go. Listen, if it's not slimy, not green, not moldy, and it doesn't smell, it's edible. Come on. Freeze it. Do something, but we ain't throwing it out. All right? So how many of you are like that? Just holler at me, 347-285-7777 if you feel like chatting with me today. Okay? Just let Pastor Steph know, okay, you've lost your mind, or girl, I'm with you. We ain't throwing nothing out. Come on, Pastor Charlotte, tell me if you, well, do the burgers make it past the first day? I don't know. Do we get her burgers or not on the list? Because she been to eat the burgers, so we can't count that. All right, so now we're going to get our news, And we're going to do something a little different with our news today, okay? But we got to talk about the news because this has everything to do with our health, whether it be mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual. Well, we're going to start off with which one here? Okay, which one? Okay, let's start off with this one. So there's a mom and a dad, and the mother is a plastic surgeon, and the father is a neurosurgeon, okay? And they have two girls, and they come from a nice-sized family, and I believe the wife has a brother. Well, they had, a gathering, a family gathering. And, you know, everybody, you know, comes to the gathering the way they choose to, dressed, physically, you know, dressed. And the sister-in-law, as they're about to get the eating going on, she pulls this woman to the side and she says to her, why are girls dressed like that, with a frown on her face? Now, they were dressed a little formal, a little dressy dress. They got their little dress on, but, you know, nothing over the top. And she was like, well, I don't understand what you mean. And she said, well, why do they always have to come to the events? And this was their event, by the way, this woman that I'm talking about, her event. Well, why do they have to always come with all this expensive clothes that they didn't buy with their own money? And so, you know, the woman said, hey, it's all good. It's all good. You know, they do have jobs, and their job is to do well in school and get good grades. And go to school and get good grades. That's all we require them to do. And as long as they do that, you know, we buy them what they want to buy. And then the sister-in-law is twisted at this point. What do you mean, you know, as long as they go to school and get good grades? You know, because that's not fair. My kids, you know, I can't, they always ask me to buy this stuff for them, but I can't buy that for them. They want the same clothes your girls have. I can't afford to buy them. So the woman says, well, I don't think that's my problem. Oh, that sounds like a you issue. And you and your husband need to figure out how you're either going to get it done or tell your children you just can't afford to buy it. What do you want me to do? Okay? So they keep going. She doesn't let up. So she goes to the mother-in-law, and she asks the mother-in-law, you know, hey, you know, tell me, she brings her to the woman, say, you know, tell me if you agree, you know, I don't think that her children should be wearing all these expensive clothes that they don't buy, and I don't think it's fair because my kids are always asking, and we can't, me and Johnny can't buy the clothes. And the mother-in-law says, well, that's quite selfish. If that's what they are doing and that's what they want to do for their children, that's your issue. I mean, their decision. You can't dictate that they don't buy their children certain things because your children can't afford it. So the woman begins to go, the sister-in-law goes off. She says, you know, y'all don't know what hard work is. She cusses them out. And the next morning, the brother calls and says, I think you behaved like a brat. You need to apologize to my wife. And hung up on her. But not before she told him absolutely not. I have nothing to feel bad about, nothing to apologize for. That's your issue. You can't expect me and my husband to treat our children the way the rest of you. We've worked hard for our money. Why can't we spend our money on the way we want to spend our money on our children? Okay, so see, I'm mad because we even had to have this conversation at my event. If you walked through the door and you saw that my children were dressed a little uppity, in your opinion, and your children didn't leave. Go ahead about your business. Okay? Cut it out. People are a handful. All right? So let's go to our story B. All right. Let's see what our story B is going to be. Our story B. What's wrong with these people? That's what we should be calling today's episode. What's wrong with these people? Well, the second episode is about a young lady who has an issue with her stepdad. Now, this is a little different than we know on this side of the fence. You know, we don't have these concerns. But let's talk about it. All right, so she says that her dad died before she was born. She's, you know, a young lady in her 20s. Her dad died before she was born, and she never got a chance to meet him, of course. But he named her, and they actually gave her his middle name. And even though her mom remarried, the mom never changed her name, and when she got of age, she decided not to change her name to the stepdad's name. Well, she just made the decision because she said that, you know I never met my natural father, but I don't feel like I didn't know him. I didn't feel like I was missing out on a dad, despite the fact that I had never met my own, you know, dad. And when my mother got remarried at the age of 9, I felt more comfortable just keeping my dad's name because I had seen photos and videos of him, and I felt like I knew him. That's the way she felt. So she never changed the name. Well, this was really getting to the stepdad. She recently got married, and she didn't change her name to even the husband's name. She's clinging on to the father, the natural father's name, her that birth name. So the stepdad asked about it. Like, you know, listen, you want to hold on to a name, then hold on to my name. I've raised you since you were 9 years old, and I think I need to get some type of notice and respect. And I've always treated you well. You've never wanted for nothing. You know, if you're going to hold on to a name, then why can't you hold on to my name? And she said, hey, you know, I just want my dad's name. And he told her, grow up. He put that F word in there. He said, listen, just grow up and let go of that real dad is me and not the sperm donor. Oh! So she cussed him out, kicked him out the house, and they have not spoken since. Yeah. He said, get rid of the sperm donor's name, take up my name, and grow the F up. Wow. I'm shaking in my boots over here. Because we all twisted. All right, now that's the reason why I'm just leaving you kind of like with these stories. Because this is a what's wrong with them day, okay? Well, the last story we're going to talk about today is the dad who kills his young children over, now I don't know if I'm saying this right, QAnon? QAnon, I don't know, but QAnon, and the serpent DNA conspiracy theory. Okay? All right. So this is a surfing school teacher, and he's from California, and he drove his children over into Mexico, and he had in his mind that they were going to grow up into monsters and kill him. Yes. 40-year-old Matthew Coleman was charged with murder of his 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter. He used a fishing gun spear and stabbed them. Now, here's what happened. The mom, they were together. The mother and the father were together. So it wasn't like this was estranged. No, they were together. Okay? And he had gotten in his head some craziness going on. And what happened was, the wife, he took the kids on a ride, and the wife got worried. She said because they had not returned within a certain amount of time, she kept calling him on the cell phone. He didn't answer. And she realized that there was no car seat for one of the children. So she called the cops. So they filed a missing persons report. They thought that it could also be an issue of kidnapping, you know, the parental kidnapping that you have going on. And they picked him up in a van. And when they got to him in the van, there were no children, but there was blood in the car. And he told them that he killed the children because he felt that the wife had serpent DNA. The children would inherently have serpent DNA, and that they would be lizard people and aliens. And he was not going to run the risk of them growing up and killing him, since they had inherited her serpent DNA. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people? Oh, my goodness gracious. Do you hear the conspiracy theory? 2 years and 10 months. Those were the ages of the children. Now, I'm not going to wait till they get 4 and 5. I'm not going to wait to get, you know, for them to get 7, 8, 9, or 10, where I still have some level of control. And if I really thought that, you know, they were going to be, you know, murderers and might murder me in my sleep, then I might see it coming. Because they little like that. And they can't get nothing over on me. Because I'm 40 now. But I would be, what, 49? And I wouldn't be, you know, that savvy to pick up on the fact that they were murderers at 8, 9, 9, and 10, or whatever the situation is. And I need to kill them now. Stab them with, oh, my gosh. I'm speechless. Every day when I bring you news, I remember why, prior to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, I didn't listen to the news or watch the news. Because you're not going to tell me that these people are sane. You're not going to tell me. So today is Therapeutic Thursday. What's wrong with these people? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Or is it spiritual? What do you say? Well, that's not the way we're going to have to, you know, we're going to spin it off today. But I'll let you know in a minute how we're going to do it. And, if you want to, you know, be a part of the conversation, please don't hesitate. 347-285-7777. Okay? So remember, we got three news stories. One, where the mom was ridiculed and the mom and dad were ridiculed for the fact that they allowed their children and they purchased their children expensive clothing, and because the sister-in-law and the brother could not afford to buy their children the same clothes that their children were asking for, that this couple's children were wearing, they felt that they needed to stop buying their children that expensive clothing. That's story number one. Story number two, the young lady who wants to hold on to her dad's name, her deceased dad's name, who she never had a chance to meet, but because everybody was talking about him, she had photos and videos, she felt like she knew him, and there was a good man, she never said there was nothing wrong with him, a good man that raised her as a stepdad from the time she was 9 years old. She still wanted to hold on to the deceased dad's name, and he got angry when she got married and still would not let go of that name and told her to grow up and take his name instead of the sperm donor's name. And last but not least, our last story is the crazy dad who thinks that thanks to Illuminati and the conspiracy theory of serpent DNA that he killed his 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter before they could grow up and kill him. Oh my gosh. All right. So, let's just say good morning, because that's all we're going to say this morning. Let's say good morning to I Do Time crew. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, Chop Chop of the morning. Chop, chickity chop. Voice going a little bit, but Chop of the morning.
All righty, Brother Al. Oh, glad to have you with us today. And that's all we're going to get out today. Are our good mornings right now, okay?
Okay.
Let's say
cool.
Good morning to our Pastor Sharlin. Good morning, Pastor Sharlin.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, I love that. All righty. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Kingdom Carriers. Sound an alarm. We're out there. Happy Thursday. Almost Friday.
Yeah, I was going to say, girl, the Kingdom Carriers ain't at Friday yet.
I said almost. Almost.
All righty. Good morning to you. How you doing over there this morning?
I am doing wonderful, thank you.
That's good. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning, yiggity yang yang.
All right, how you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good, all thank right. you, and how are you doing?
I am well, thank you. Glad to hear you
like
doing
to
well. Glad to hear you doing well. Oh, we got a latecomer. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. What up, my brothers and sisters? How are you doing today? Good morning.
Oh,
I'm doing swell.
What up? All right now. All right. So right now we're just saying good morning because we're going to, you know, do something a little different today. So thank you for joining us. And last but not least, we have our girl Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
All righty. So we got a conversation that we're going to have. We have a conversation that I'd like for us to have. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some issues that go on in the family. And we're going to, you know how you used to play that when you went to school, they had like a column on the left and a column on the right, and you had to take the pencil and draw from the column on the left and match it up with the column on the right. So I want to go over these stories real quickly one more time. And when I give you the family issue, you'll then point to the news story that you feel it, you know, that's associated with it, in your opinion. Because, you know, you may not have the same opinion. All right? So story number one, the mom and dad who are being ridiculed because their children, you know, they're a neurosurgeon and a plastic surgeon, so they got money. and they have been able to purchase their children the expensive name brand clothing that they like, because they said as long as they went to school and got good grades, that's all they had to do. They didn't have to get a job. Well, you got the brother and the sister-in-law sitting on the sidelines angry because their two children are asking for the same name brand clothing, and they can't afford to buy their children these clothing. So they, the plastic surgeon and the neurosurgeon, should stop buying their children that expensive clothing because it makes everybody else look bad. And they are bratty, and they don't know what hard work is. Okay? That's story number one. Story number two, the young lady who decided, hey, you know, I know I have a stepdad who's treated me really well, and I've known him since I was nine. I have no complaints. He's been a pretty good stepdad. However, I want to hold on to my deceased dad's name. No, I never met him, but I've seen video. Everybody's always talking about him, telling me about him. I've seen pictures. He named me. My middle name is his name, and I want to hold on to that last name. And, my mother never had a problem with me holding on to the last name. Why do you, stepdad, have a problem with me keeping the last name? So now I get married and I don't even change the name to my husband's name. I still insist on keeping my deceased dad's name. And the stepfather is irate, mad, twisted, whatever you want to say. He's like, yo, why don't you let that name go? I took the time to raise you. I treated you well. Why don't you take my name and let go of the sperm donor's name? Grow up. Okay, that's story number two. Story number three is the crazy California man, dad, who takes his children, and because he's worried about the Illuminati and the serpent DNA that's coming from their mama, is going to cause them to grow up and kill him. He takes them off and stabs the two-year-old son and the 10-month-old daughter with a fishing gun spear.
Right.
Those are the three stories. All righty? So, we're going to deal with family issues. And the first family issue we're going to deal with is distance. When there's distance in the family, that causes a problem. So we got to go in our natural order. Pastor KL, if you had to draw a line from side A to side B, which story would you associate the problem of distance in a family?
Okay, we got the fisherman. We got the last name. What was the first one?
The first one was the clothing, the brand name clothing.
Well, I mean, okay, so if I'm looking at distance, you know, I would say the clothing situation with the in-laws.
Okay. Why?
First of all, they got an issue for the wrong reason. You know, and apparently they're not close enough. If they were close enough, you know, perhaps the neurosurgeon or the other person would take care of them as well. But it seems to me like they don't have no real relationship. You know, they just jealous. You know, they have a jealousy relationship, an envious relationship.
Okay. All righty. Pastor Charlene, what story would you associate distance with and why?
That was the same one that I was going to say about the clothing, and the reason why is because not only jealousy, it is, why would you even put your brother in that predicament? Because the father is the brother, is her brother, correct? Not the wife. Am I right?
No. I think it's the sister's brother, his wife. Her brother's wife.
Right. So even in that is that do you have an issue with your brother to even go to that? Because if you loving your brother, your family, it really doesn't matter. You knew I had money when I got the job, and you knew that my wife had that, so there was no need for you to bring that up and to add in the family. So not only just jealousy, you know, just hatred.
All right. Brother Al, which story would you associate with distance?
There's
a problem of distance in the family.
I'm listening, and I'm going to stay distance with the father who killed the children. Him and his wife, you know, she didn't, there's a couple of distance there. The first one is the way he was feeling, he didn't feel comfortable talking to his wife about it because he felt that she had demon DNA. It's like, how you know it didn't come from you, but he's fought the wife. And the second thing is the whole family, and, you know, the kids are real young, so I'm going to say the husband and wife, you got distance from God. Because if you had that closeness with God, that demon wouldn't have been able to come in and tell you that that's demon DNA.
All right. Tamika, what you got?
I'm going to say the stepfather and daughter relationship, and not their relationship, but there are so many different components of distance. The distance between the child and her biological father, she attributes honor to the name, you know, considering that she missed out on all of that, and then just the feeling of respect and honor for, you know, each person, you know, and the way that they react based on how she honors the name.
Okay. Minister AJ, there's distance, you know, there's families who have a problem with distancing themselves from one another. Which story would you connect to the distance problem?
Well, since Brother Al stepped all over in my sandbox with the distance from God, you know what? I'm going to go with the young lady and the stepfather and the reason why I'm going with that one is because that happens a lot in real life where you have the stepfather who comes in and does so much for the kid, but then the child is distant because it's not their biological father. And the biological father who does nothing, they want to be close to, you know, him, and he could be the abuser, he could be the drunk, he could be everything, but they want to be close to that one, but be distant from the one who really raised them. I think that's an issue. That's an issue.
All right. Shantice, thank you.
For distance, I'm going to go with Fisher Boy. In addition to, you know, them being distant from God, they've also been distant from anyone who has any connection with God. And people, you know, I understand that COVID showed that we don't necessarily have to always be in the physical church house. At certain circumstances, not in general, but like COVID, the pandemic, the lockdown was a special circumstance, but to continue to forsake the assembly, you know, there's a reason why even though God closed the church doors, we still had Zoom and, you know, other ways to connect with our church family. So when you forsake the assembly, you forsake and take for granted how people who are connected with God, you know, whether they're clergy or not, you know, but to be able to get the good godly counsel and for someone to check you mentally is just like they just throw that out the window. So, you know, you continue to distance yourself from people like that, then you end up thinking that your 10-month-old is going to chase you like Chucky.
Okay. Oh, you're thinking on your feet this morning, my due time crew. Well, one of the next family issues that's a trouble spot is unfaithfulness. Pastor Charlene, which story would you connect with the problem of unfaithfulness?
I would go with the daughter with the father's name, because the mother, she didn't speak up on the behalf of the daughter. Of she's not knowing her dad. She wants a piece of her dad. And so, therefore, she should have said to the husband that she should be able to do what she wanted to do. And if the husband is not complaining, why should you?
Okay. Her new husband, the married husband.
Yeah, you said she got married. Right.
Okay.
You said she got married,
yes.
And she
okay.
didn't want to change their name.
Right. Okay. I got confused. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Interesting. Brother Al, which news story are you associating the problem of unfaithfulness in a family?
Pastor Charlene stole all on my answer, but I'm gonna say something different because she said that one. I'm gonna go again with the father who killed his children. You know, unfaithful, very unfaithful. That means you didn't have faith in God from the beginning. Already you didn't. You're distant, and then you don't have faith. You didn't have faith at all. So that's why, again, the evil one was able to just slip right in and have your mind all bottled up.
Okay. Tamika, unfaithfulness. That's a problem in families. Where do you see it in these
it
stories?
It's funny that you mentioned unfaithfulness in families, because most of the time when we think of unfaithfulness, we think of our relationship to God, we think of marriage, but we don't think about family members and to do right by others. And I'm going to go with the fisherman killer, you know, because my thing is you had a responsibility to your children. And the absence of God in your relationship, it's obvious, it's clear that there's an absence because you decided to take matters into your own hands based on something that you fathomed or believed that would take you out. And so I'm going to utilize the fisherman as being unfaithful to his children, unfaithful to his wife, et cetera.
Okay. Minister AJ. Unfaithfulness, problem in the family.
All right, I think I'm going a little bit, you know, a little bit different. I'm going to go with the kids, the new surgeon and his wife and the kid situation, the clothes situation, because I definitely dealt with some clothes situations growing up, but I'm going to take a little different route. Sometimes we are unfaithful in our situation, and we're cool with slacking off, not going to a job properly, not building business properly, not going to school. But then when we see somebody else who has been faithful, you know, making progress, then we're jealous. And then we want them to now come down the ladder, because we've been unfaithful with what God told us to do, with, you know, what the boss, we won't listen to nobody. We're just unfaithful across the board. But then when we see somebody else making progress, it causes us to have that crab in the barrel mentality or that jealous mentality. So I'm going with that one on this.
Wow. Okay. Shantice, have you dealt with unfaithfulness, and what does it mean? Okay.
Mr. AJ took my whole entire answer to the cake.
It's copyright.
I was gonna, copyright. I had it so down pat my head, I can't even bounce to another story. Oh, yeah,
okay,
I
so this
I
is advanced notice.
With the, Yeah, I agree with this, that if the time you're spending to get mad at another parent, you could be selling some dinner, selling some clothes you're not wearing anymore, or doing without some type of luxury so that your children can have, if that really means that much to you. Because now this is what you're showing to your child, to now envy what someone else is having, rather than maybe teaching them that right now this just may not be for you, or doing what you have to do to get it. So.
Okay, okay. Now I'm going to put a little spin on this story. When she went to the mother-in-law, when the sister-in-law went to the mother-in-law to complain about how the surgeons were spending their money, the mother-in-law not only said, you know, how dare you get upset with it and try to dictate how they spend their money on their children, she offered to purchase brand name clothes, or those same brand name clothes that the children have been asking for, in order to make the kids feel a little better and not slighted. So I want to add that in, because going forward in these family issues, that might be a little piece you want to bring up. Pastor KL, unfaithfulness in the family. Where do you find that in these three stories?
I find that in the daughter and the last name. I am a dad and I am a stepdad, you know, and though, you know, you as a man, you understand that they have a dad, you know, but he's never been there. So you would hope that all that you've done, you know, they would have been faithful to that. You know, they would honor you, you know, as the dad who's not only been there, but stepped up to be the dad. Now, as far as me fighting for the last name, you know, once you get married, you need to change the last name. But even in my personal situation, you know, I have a daughter that's about to get married. Well, she's my stepdaughter who's about to get married. And in her mind, she wants me to walk her halfway down the aisle and then pass her off to her dad. And that's honor right there. She had two men taking care of her. So that, to me, that's faithfulness.
All right. Let's talk about the problem that you have, disagreements on parenting. Big issue in families, big issue. Brother Al, which story?
Oh, yeah, disagreeing with parenting. I'm going to say the story with the surgeon. You know, okay, you disagree on how they're taking care of their kids because you are not able to, and you guys can't come together and say, okay, well, you know what, if that's such a big issue, how about we come together and say, okay, you know what, we'll get them a little bit at a time, if that's such a big issue to you, you know. And the mother, she disagreed with it. It's like, okay, how dare you, you know, talk about your sister like that, and because you can't afford it. And then the grandmother either offered, which grandparents do if you're not a grandparent, Pastor Steph, no, you say, okay, you know what, let me try to help fix the situation some, because the best interest was the kids, you know, the big interest was the kids. Like, okay, you know what, the kids feel a certain way, and the kids are feeling a certain way because they hear you talking, they hear you being upset, they hear you getting mad. So now the grandparent is stepping in and saying, okay, let me put you in your place real quick. They work hard and that's it, but I tell you what I'll do, I'll buy the kids a little something, being that they feeling the way.
All right. Tamika, disagreement on parenting. Big issue in families.
It is, and
I try not to piggyback on what's said before, so I'm going to go with the killer, the fisherman. It's obvious that, you know, his ideal of what was going on, he decided to take a route of his own. You know, you kill children, and, you know, now the wife has no children, and she has to deal with you because you're still married. It just doesn't disappear after that. And I can't even imagine the conversation when he finally gets, you know, to her and says, the children are dead, and she says, okay, what happened? You know, of course, her first mindset is not that you killed them, that something happened. And oh, my gosh, my heart goes out to her.
All righty, all righty. Minister AJ, how are we talking about this, you know, this disagreement on parenting?
I'm going with the fisherman on this one. And I think a lot of times in marriage, what we don't do is we don't agree from the beginning. We don't, you know, we don't talk, we don't ask questions, so we have no idea who the other person really is and what their views are. And we're not in agreement in prayer. You know, we, as married couples, you know, sometimes we don't pray and we don't worship God together, so you don't even know if they're going crazy in their mind. You don't even know. And I think if you, when you put God in it, you give the person the opportunity to say, listen, this is how I'm feeling, da-da. You know, because the crazy thing is he's saying, like, serpent-like behavior and this and that. At the end of the day, you were born in sin and shape and iniquity, but your mind can be transformed and renewed. And I think married couples, we just omit prayer and worship time together, period. And that spells trouble.
Wow. Sharchis.
I would say with the clothing. Okay, so I have nothing to do with how you're clothing your children, whether it be with name brand or knockoff. And even though it seemed like the sister-in-law and her husband were one band, one sound, because then the husband called the sister and said to apologize to his wife, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So even though it seemed like they were in cahoots, I guess because they figured they agreed that they were right when they were dead wrong, but instead of maybe taking some notes from the other set of parents.
Wow.
And even seeing how, okay, obviously y'all are both surgeons, so y'all have way more money. But even taking some notes and asking, you know, well, how can we? And again, I was going to mention that also about you pushing these ideas and stuff onto these kids. These kids could be running around with spikes and be fine. But as the parent, you're all upset, and now you're making them feel bad about the way they look when they're absolutely fine. So instead of maybe getting some tips on how to, you know, have your children look and grooming them, because you guys agree, you're thinking you're right, and it just, so even though you're in agreement, doesn't mean that you're parenting properly. So I will go with that one.
Wow, are y'all taking notes? Are you taking notes? The Due Time crew is putting it down. Got some real, real good thinking behind, you know, how you can extract these issues from these stories. Come on, Pastor Kel, what you got?
Well, I'm a little tossed, but I'm gonna go with the I'm gonna go with the clothing issue. Like my other brothers and sisters have said, you know, sometimes, you know, the children don't even care. You know, they care now because they hear you talking about it. It's almost like, you know, when God said, who told you were naked? Who told you wasn't wearing designer stuff? You just went out to play. You just went out to enjoy yourself, and now you're bringing it to the front. You know that? Oh my God, the pants I got on are not Levi's. Yo, who told you that? You know, what was the difference to the children? Now you up in arms as the parent, you know, but your children were okay. So now you're disturbing your children's peace and making them feel inadequate to their cousins. You know, so there's an issue right there. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you wasn't living? Who told you you wasn't happy in what you were doing and what you was wearing? Who told you that? So, yeah, that's my story.
Oh, taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. Come on, Pastor Charlene. We got disagreements on parenting. Heavy issues in these three stories alone. What are you extracting on this disagreement on parenting?
Well, Pastor Pam, family. Well, actually, because I was on the clothes because I thought about when we was growing up, that we had sneakers off the table. We didn't know that they were cheap sneakers. You know, we didn't know the clothes that we wore back in the day. We didn't know until someone, and it had to be the parent that told the child, and that's the same way I was going into, because the children don't know. We don't know how much nothing is as a kid. You know, you just know the store that you go in, they'll say, oh, why your mother shop at, well, back in the day was Gimbel's. Back in the
and
day, you know, so right, and Woolworth. You know what I mean? And we didn't know the difference, you know, until you got around the children upper class or so. So that's where I was going to go to, as far as the kids not knowing.
All righty.
If you wanted more money, then there's another way. And then it goes into of trying to get another job or have start your own business or, you know, something that will push you to be better instead of talking about. It's the circle that you're in. So it's the friends that she is hanging out with that probably put it in her ear, too, because you should never be jealous of your sibling.
Okay, okay. Good stuff. Okay, here's a good one. That work life balance. How many families are dealing with this issue, balancing their work and life thing? How does this come out in these stories? Come on, Tamika, what we got?
Work life balance. That's a good one. I'm gonna go with the sister-in-law and brother, in that you're comparing yourself, you know. A lot of times the issue that we have is we're comparing, you know, how you know, eggs to oranges. You know, honestly, they're not the same. Obviously, a neurosurgeon and the other profession is not, you know, the same as what they may be making. The other thing is allotting what's really valuable in your home. I mean, is it really all about name brand and you know, showing, you know, a lot of times we have a tendency, we're twisted because it's all about what it looks like. What about the genuine love in the home? You know, the emotions, how do you show that you love your child other than giving them gifts? You know, a lot of times when you find that children are given gifts, and you're not really talking to them in great detail about life and the things that life demands, they're missing out on things. So you're working this thing, and you got money, and you're throwing money at your child, and your child has absolutely no idea about the real things that matter. You know, what happens if mommy and daddy are gone tomorrow? Who do I go to? What bills do I pay? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Those things are not worked out because you're so busy trying to throw a dollar at it.
Wow. All right. Come on, Minister AJ. You know that there's a heavy issue in families with that work-life balance.
Definitely. And I think a lot of times, again, when we lack to even read the word, we don't know what the balance should be. You know, the Bible even says if a man is recently married, you know, that first year of marriage, you know, he's supposed to be home more. You know, he's supposed to really be yielded to the home life. And that's so that you and your wife and your kids can bond. And a lot of times when we don't have the balance, you know what? We have more idle time for the enemy to work on our mind. You're at work. Everything becomes tough. You know, you're at work, it's tough. You come home, it's tough. Because there's no balance, and a lot of times we don't prepare before marriage. So there is no balance. Now you're trying to go to school when it's time to be married. And there's some things you should have took care of before, so now that you and your wife can have that quality time, and if there are issues, we now have time to fix it.
Wow, that was beautiful. Which
Thank
story
you.
Are we
That's
associating?
Oh, that's with the gentleman who killed his kids. You know.
Okay. Oh, my God.
A lot
God.
Of times we'll... Oh, what? I stepped in your sandbox again? Yeah, because you're working, but there's no time to bond. And when one person is weaker, you don't even have the time to now build them up because you have to keep going for the sake of survival. So you never have time to live.
All righty. Thank you. Shantice.
I'm in practice.
I have a question before men for aging in this cycle. Work and life balance. I'll go with the stepfather. You put in the work that God put on your heart to do. So why are we looking for a return? It brings me back to the verse where it says, give without expecting. It says that, right? I'm paraphrasing. I know it's not verbatim. But you give without expecting. If God puts it on your heart to do something, then you do. You know, whether she, you know, built you a castle because of what you did, or whether she stomped all over your efforts and the investment that you made in her. Of course, you know, it takes a lot for you to raise someone else's child. You know, I get it. You know, you would love to see her cling to you as if you were the biological father. At the same time, you have to understand that one of the things that I've had to learn is you don't always reap from where you sow. So you may have made a heavy investment there, but God may reward you in another area of your life because what he charged you to do in this woman's life, he will now have you profit somewhere else. So the time that you're spending getting upset and, you know, doing all of this, there still may be work that God may need you to do in her life, despite the fact that now she has been handed over to another man because now she's married, does not mean that she still doesn't need you. And I didn't hear anywhere in the story that she disowned him. It's just she wanted to take, you know, to keep her biological father's name. Doesn't mean that her love for you has been thrown in the trash, but she still may need you heavily as a father. So it's a work life.
Well, that was
together.
A nice comeback.
I have to think quick
you know?
On my feet, you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You got it. You got it. Nice comeback.
She took my second
answer. Nice comeback.
That was my
Come on,
answer.
Pastor KL.
I said you took my second answer. Good job.
All right. We got the work-life balance issue going on, and that is real prevalent in family life. What would you say, Pastor KL, in regards to any of these stories?
Well, I would go with the with the young lady and the stepfather as well. I mean, and just from a personal level, you know, people don't understand that is a big issue. You know, I got married to a woman who had 3 children. And all I heard in my mind is that you are the provider. You have to now provide for your wife and her children. So sometimes in your mind, all you want to do is do the right thing. And I've learned at an early stage in my marriage that sometimes, you know, the children want a couple of dollars, but they want your time. They want to throw the ball with you. They want to play catch. They want to play a board game. But sometimes in a man's mind, all you hear is that I am supposed to be the provider. So sometimes in trying to be who you're supposed to be, you miss out on all the other things. So my question in my mind is that perhaps, yes, he took care of you, but did you give me the time that I needed? You know, you gave me the clothes, you gave me the food, you gave me, you know, a roof over my head, but perhaps you were my father, but you were never my daddy. And I yearned for my daddy. My daddy named me. My daddy thought about me enough to give me his name and to name it of what he wanted me to be. But, yes, you provided, but you never became my daddy because all you wanted to be was the provider. So, yeah, that's
my wow. Wow. I tell you, y'all are extracting some serious stuff here. Come on, Pastor Charlene, that work-life balance that you know as a pastor, you have had to do a whole lot of counseling because somebody wasn't finding that balance properly. What's going down in these three stories?
I'm going with the fisherman. I thought about the lack of communication because you said that they are together. So the lack of communication with that he needed some help with that if they were being prayerful that, you know, she would have spotted something was wrong with him and to know not to leave the children with him or if someone else had them that where that they could not would not have him take them and where that they would have been able to come together and seek some help. Where that even in the communication, you know, to have a better understanding of where he's getting this from, you know, and where they'll be able to not only to go to God about it and not only to find to seek help, but to have a better understanding of his limitations of what he can do alone and what he can't do alone. So I thought about them because of the fact that now you have would have been had to, you know, explain in the child's way of that daddy's not well, you know, and these are the reason why when they want to go with their dad. So I thought about that lack of communication in between that particular marriage. So that's why I went to.
All right. Brother Al, what you got? What you got? That work-life balance is out of kilter. Where?
Look, there you go with the singing again. I'm going to, you know, as I'm listening to everybody and putting things together, I'm going to go with the surgeons. I'm going with the surgeon because I can relate. I had it happen personally, and I've had to deal with it with being working with children. I did have a kid one day whose mother was a lawyer and the father was a doctor. So I thought of that as this was going on. And, you know, people look at it like, okay, they surgeon, they making all this money, they buying their kids all this stuff. You never know that could be a cover because of their surgeons. I'm quite sure their time is very limited. I'm quite sure the time is very limited. They're both on call. So, again, okay, I'm not spending time with my children because I got this job and I'm doing this. But you know what? I'll buy them. Let me get them the name brand stuff. Because let me tell you something. I see it all the time. In the schools, when these kids come in, believe what I'm telling you, that they know the prices. They know the name brand stuff. When these kids walk into that school with name brand items, they are praised. Oh, my God. Do you see John? Yo, he got the new Jordan. Yo, you know how much those cost? They get praised for that. So that makes them feel good. That makes them feel good. Like, yeah, I got them. Nobody else got them. Everybody saying I look good with them and stuff like that. So these surgeons, like I said, their time is limited. So what they're doing, they're buying their children. Hey, let me buy this just to keep them quiet and they feeling good. But you're getting a disconnect there because you're not spending time with your children. You're not taking them places. You're not going out like Pastor Carol said with the son and say, you know what, let's play catch, let's play a little ball, or taking the daughter out, let me take you shopping, you know, or let's go out together. So all that's being eliminated by this name brand item.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, did you ever go first?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, thank you. Minister AJ, there's an issue in families with the difficult children. Which story are we going to talk about for this one?
I'm going with the stepdaughter who that wanted to take her biological's father's first name. And for me, it's a lack of lack of recognition for who's really in her life. And a lot of times you can be the parent doing everything. And the minute you're not able to, let's say, technically do something, or you're not around, or you're non-existent, then one little person comes along and does one little thing, and now all the recognition that you built goes out the window. So, and I think I have to relate to that story because the biological father wasn't around. You don't know him. And yes, because of how people talked about him, but you yourself didn't experience this. And a lot of times that's what happens even in parenting. You could be, man, swinging from the roof. And I had that talk with my kids recently. Listen, there's a difference between luxuries and necessity. I've done a lot of luxury. But however, if you don't want to appreciate it, then we can take the luxuries and put them out the window, and we can go with the necessities. And a lot of kids don't know the difference between a luxury and a necessity. So you got to remind them.
All right, all right. Difficult children. Heavy issue in families. How do you deal with this stuff here? And where does it fall in these stories? Shantice.
Difficult children, I'll go with the clothing. You're helping to create difficulty within the mentality of the children. If the brother and the other couple, if they're close, that means that their children are close. And if they notice, a lot of times, and I've seen it in my own family, when there's a rift between the parents, there a lot of times gets passed down to the children. Very few children take the higher role over the parents. A lot of times they mimic what they see. So if there's a rift between the parents, now there's a rift between the children, and now they don't even have to go to school to experience the I got this and you don't have that. I look better than you because my parents are able to give me this, but your parents take you. They're already now experiencing that within their family. So it's the parents who are surgeons. Yes, you do what you do. You spend your money the way you want to spend your money. But if you're not giving life lessons along with it, you know, very few parents buy it. They shower their kids with all of this, but then teach them, don't take this type of mentality with it. You know, don't look at yourself better than. Or if you grow up, a lot of times, like me and my sisters and my first cousins, we grew up like all of us like siblings. So if I see you without, I may be more compelled to now share mine or give to you. Are you teaching your children that? You know, so now you're breeding, because maybe you don't have the time to do the basics. Now you're breeding difficult children. While you think you're just, you know, giving this to them, whether it's because you just want to see them in it or whether this is your way of spending time because you don't have the time. Whatever your reasoning is, if you're not coupling it up with the morals that they need to have mentally, you're breeding difficulty.
All right, all right. Pastor KL.
Well, I'm going to go as well with the with those children. You know, I think you mentioned that someone said they brats anyway. You know, so are they brats? You know, are you, you know, you ever go into a grocery store and the child just keep on whining, and then after a while the mama just say, okay, go get it. You know, are we just taking care of our children or buying stuff for our children because they keep whining about it? You know, what's really going on? If you're producing brats, you know, that's going to be a problem in the end run. You know, so, you know, perhaps they're just breath. And it's not because you got the money and you can do it. You just want them to shut up. You know, just leave me alone. You know, I've been working all day. You know, I don't feel like dealing with you. Go to the mall. Go here. Go. Because, listen, I make pretty good money. But you know what? I've never owned a pair of Jordans. And I've never bought my children no Jordans. Because I just don't think that they I don't even know Jordans. You know, so I don't think that they need that. You know, but sometimes, you know, they just brat and they just whine and they got to have it. They got to have it. They got to have it. Now, I've never had a pair of sneakers. You know, maybe Brother Al can tell me. But I never had a pair of sneakers that made me run fast, that made me dunk the ball, you know, that made me do anything extra, you know, with a certain name brand sneakers. I've never had that. So to me, when you produce a brat, you know, and then when you create the monster, you got to keep on feeding the monster. And people from the outside, they see the food that you're feeding the monster. And it's making a detriment to their world. So, yeah, I can see, just like Sean T said, we probably were close. All the families were close. So now here you are producing this monster. And then now I got to come here and have a story to my children why you can't be a monster. And then I'm looking like the monster because I can't help you be the monster that you want to be. No.
Wow. Y'all are sure extracting some stuff up out of these stories. All right, Pastor Charlene. Difficult children. Where does this land in these three stories?
Well, right with these same children, I thought about the children now coming against each other, where that maybe they, you know, they might have had dinners forever. We don't do it. It doesn't say how old they are, right? So
they're teens.
They might have had. Oh, they're in their teens. Oh,
yes.
Well, you know the teen stage. Oh, my. Because you know how children, they come up against each other. And yeah, they brats, sure enough. They're brats. And with that, instead of them being family-oriented, like has been said, and we shared. So instead of the children sharing with each other, well, you know what? I don't wear this anymore. You know, nobody has to know that we pass down clothes. Nobody has to know, you know, that, like, the grandmother wanted to help, you know. So you can be just as fly with pay less, as you said, Woolworth, all the stores, you know, and it's how you put your outfit together. Nobody can see the label in your clothes, you know. So wear your own label, shout out.
Nice plug, Pastor Charlene. Nice plug.
So therefore, you can take and clip them labels or whatever that name is and put your own name in, shout out, and you ain't got to worry about that. So.
All righty. Listen, I got a question. Pastor Charlene, you said something, and I have a question for Shantice. Pastor Charlene says, Shantice, that, you know, it don't matter what clothes you wear. You could still be fly in Woolworth clothes, Alexander's clothes, C.H. Martin clothing. You know, like Pastor K.L. said, you don't have to wear Jordans and things like that. Can you still be fly in those clothes?
Amen. As long as they ain't high waters or showing the imprint of certain parts of your body too much, you straight.
But let me
just say this about the high waters. You can't get creative. You take the high waters, right, and you roll them up a little bit, and you got your own style. Because once you have your own line of clothes, you have your own line of clothes. You got your own style. Make it your own style. Shout out.
All righty. Okay, thank you for answering that, Shantice. Brother Al, difficult children.
Oh, yeah.
Where does that fall?
Going to have to go with the surgeons again. Pastor Kel said something real key, you know. They go in the store, and it's like, mommy, gotta get that, mommy, gotta get that, and they do it. But see, that's that new generation. When we went in the store, and we said, mommy, can I get that? And she said, no, that was it. There was no more, can I get? You better not. That was it. Uh-huh. But also what they don't realize is that they're creating a monster. And I'm speaking from that from experience. Once they go with that name brand, that's it. And they'll do whatever they need to do to get it. All right? They're not teaching them morals. So now what you're doing is raising difficult children. And I speak on that highly because that's what I've been through, what I'm going through now with my oldest son. My oldest son is 35. And just real quickly, I had custody of him because his mother, we won't get into that, but I had custody of him. I raised him. And she would tell him, I'm coming to pick you up. I'm coming to do this. She wouldn't show up. She wouldn't call. But then when she would come, she would always buy him this expensive name brand stuff. So now that she buys him that stuff, when I would buy him something regular, he would not wear. Even to this day when he had my granddaughter, I had saw a nice leather coat, and I gave him the leather coat. Do you know he threw it in the garbage because it didn't have a name brand? Oh, my daughter don't wear something like that. She wear name brands. And I'm sitting there like, okay, well, you know what? You didn't have to throw it. Didn't have to throw it away. You could have gave it back to me, and I gave it to somebody that was more appreciative, or I would have donated it. It wouldn't have been a problem, but you didn't have to throw it away. And me and that's why me and him got some issues going on now, because she destroyed that boy. I mean, it's no problem with him going in the store right now. He could have $600 in his pocket. He got no problem going in the store and throwing $500 on a pair of products. And so they create monsters and don't realize it. And I'm like, bro, you buying this stuff, but you got no life insurance on you or your children. He don't care about that. All he care about is this name brand stuff. So they don't realize that they're creating monsters when they get these children like that.
Wow. All right, all right. Tamika.
I'm going to look at this. I'm going to go for this a little different in that we're talking about families. But the way that I'm looking at it is the surgeon and I can't remember which one is which, but in that area. So we're talking about the sister that's jealous because of the items that they're bringing to their children. So we're talking about that generation. Obviously, there is a disconnect or there's an issue that transpired, and it might have stemmed from something way, way back in the past that we may not be recognizing, you know, a seed of a problem that transpired when those two were children, the sister and the brother were children. Mm-hmm. And now that you're adults with children of your own, you haven't fixed that issue that happened when you guys were children that you were jealous of as a child. Now you're an adult, and I don't know which one of them is. We know that they're in high position. Now you're still jealous because you still haven't dealt with the seed of whatever the issue was. You know, maybe mommy gave him a bigger sandwich, or, you know, maybe he went to college and you were not able to go to college. So now because he went to college and he went into school and he got his doctorate or whatever it is that you get, you know, now you're still jealous. And now because he's buying his stuff, the children, these high-priced things, now you still have that seed of jealousy that's festered for years and decades. And now you have your own children, and you're harboring those emotions onto another generation that has absolutely nothing to do with what happened in your childhood.
All right. Okay, let's go one more round. Let's take the cluttered schedule. I like that one. The cluttered schedule. Shantice.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Fisher Boy. Obviously, his schedule was cluttered with nothing because there's way, way, way too much leisure time for... You know, this idea to, you know, again, we go back to the thoughts. Where do your thoughts stem from? Either stem from God, from you, or from the devil. That was a double thought. But because you did not cut your time with assembling, you know, coming together with other godly people or having your one-on-one time with God, or even before you bring God into it, just constructive things. You know, now you have time to sit and allow this thought to fester and to grow into this sin, and sin then goes to death. But you didn't kill yourself, you killed your children. So this is what happens. You know, the verse that talks about how sin is born and then what happens when sin is actually, you know, actually comes into fruition. You don't necessarily, it's to the point where now the enemy doesn't have you killing yourself. He has you killing those closest to you. So if people think that they can still just sit around and do nothing and just waste their time, and wasting your time isn't just doing nothing, but also doing things that God does not want you to do. So it could have been him just sitting doing absolutely nothing, or him doing things that God did not want him to do, which most of the time that means that he's giving you a direct focus on what you should be doing, but he said, no, I'm going to do this. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to show you what happens when you do that. And now you had the result of the two babies being dead. So when you don't have your time filled with what God needs you to do, even if you're not a godly person, but you get that notion of, I should be doing this, but I'm going to choose to do that, now you're cluttering your mind with, and your time with, a bunch of unnecessary things and stupidity, and now this becomes the result of it.
All right, all right. Nice spin, nice spin. Pastor KL,
nice.
We got that cluttered schedule. How does that fit into any one of these stories? Big problem.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off my little niece over there, because the Bible says that, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, so sometimes, you know, as she was saying, if you don't have anything to focus on, if there's no goal, you know, if there's no priorities in your life, you allow the enemy to come and speak to you daily, you know, and he'll even show you things that you should do in order to make your life better. You know, if you don't stay focused on God, you know, if you don't go before God every day, you know, that's why I tell people, when you wake up, you just need to say, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Acknowledge God in everything that you do. And because we don't acknowledge him, you know, in everything that we do, sometimes we get into an idle place where we allow our minds to just wander and allow our minds to just take us to places that we know we shouldn't go. So, you know, the enemy, he clutters your mind with so many different things, so many different ideas, so many get-rich schemes, and so many, you know, if I just get this person out the way, then you'll be next in line. So you know, we have to focus on God. The biggest thing is having a relationship with God. You know, God is going to keep you focused, for the steps of a good man is always ordered by him. So he's going to always order your steps if you stay focused on him. You know, so don't allow your mind to be cluttered, because, again, the enemy is just waiting for you.
Amen. Two amens. Amen, amen. All right. What you got, Pastor Charlene? Which one?
Mine's is the parents, the doctors with the money. I thought of them not having, spending time with their children, and we know the first ministry is our families. So now they have left these children, and they are buying them, and instead of them working and learning how to take care of the household, how to be able to cook, because you said that they just buying, they spending the money because that's their job, is to go to school. Well, I look at that different. I look at you going to school. I remember my kids telling me that, and I said to them, that is your life. You need to go to school. I don't pay you to go to school. You need to go to school for your education, for you to be able to get a good job, where that you're able to take care of yourself. So if you're just going to pay them just because of that, then they have no life skills. And one thing that we need to do is to teach them how to have life skills and to be able to share, because it's not about you. It's about helping others, and that's where they're missing the mark at, of being able to help others and for them not to be a little brat, and where that they're able to take and to share as they, as now as teenagers and also as they become adults. Because one thing that I have found, because I got two daughters that I gave too much to, and I didn't realize that until they got grown, and then they expected, then they had awakening. And so now, you know, you have to be able to know when to and when not to. So there's nothing wrong with getting a broom, nothing wrong with having that dinner done when I come home. And so where that the parents have lacked, because that somebody needs to be able to teach them. So you have to be able to have your schedule around where that you're able to still be able to take care of your household, which is your first ministry.
Amen, Pastor Charlene. Brother Al, a cluttered schedule. Where do find that in here?
I'm gonna go with, excuse me. I'm gonna go with the stepdaughter. I'm gonna go with the stepdaughter on this one. I believe that the father is cluttered because he's so busy trying to force the young lady to just take his name and do, you know, take his name and forget about her father. And I think he went about it the whole wrong way. You know, I don't see him doing anything else but just after her, just constantly on her back. You need to forget your father. He's a sperm donor. You need to put my name. I'm the one who took care of you. So his mind is cluttered with just only that. Instead of saying, you know what? Now, from listening to the story, it never said that she was ungrateful. It never said that she was disrespectful to him. It just, she heard so much about her father, and it was like, wow, I wish I would have got to know him. So I'm going to try to keep his name alive. And I think he should have supported her with that. Like I said, she wasn't being disrespectful. She wasn't saying, no, you never did nothing. You know, yeah, he's a great man. He took care of me. But I want to keep my father's name alive. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And then for you to, he really messed the relationship up when you came out like, oh, you need to get him out of your mind. He's just a sperm donor. I can imagine how hard that hurt that young lady. Like, wow, you know, okay, then he did something. He got killed. We don't know how he got killed or how he died. But, wow, so I'm so gung-ho with this, you're going to tell me he's just a sperm donor. So that was disrespect to her father right there. So he separated them. When he said that, that separated them right now. Because, again, we know words cut deeper than anything. So you got to be careful what come out your mouth. But your mind is so cluttered on getting her to do that. Instead of, okay, you know what, let's have a conversation about this. This is how I feel. How can we fix this? How can we compromise with this? And you keep your father's name and, you know, whatever. How can we do this? No, you coming at her. You need to change it. He just a sperm donor. So you separated y'all completely. Your mind was just cluttered. But I'm going to get at her to put my name there instead of it.
All righty. Amen, Brother Al. Amen. Lady Tamika, we've got that cluttered schedule. How do you find that in any one of these stories?
You gave us some really rough ones. I'm going to look at it in a different way, and I'm going to go with the fisherman. Take a little walk with me, if you will. So we understand that he had this idea in his head, you know, about the children, you know, and what's going to happen in their future, you know. In their future, they're going to, you know, kill me. So I will change the whole thing by killing it. And sometimes in parents' ideal, you know, you have this list of things that you want your children to be. You know, you got this, you got this, you got this. And then you look at the child, and the child doesn't have any of the attributes that, or they don't have a liking for what it is that you dream. You know, let's just say the grandparent and the parent and, you know, other relatives, you got nurses in your family. So I'm a nurse, you know, and my child should be a nurse, and my mother was a nurse. And so you try to feed that on your children. Your workload is so heavy that you're putting so much pressure on your child until you turn them off, you turn their dreams off, and they are now following what you have designed for them instead of what God has planned for them.
Amen, Tamika. Amen. Minister AJ, you have the final word today. How are we associating the family issue of the cluttered schedule in any of these stories?
All right. Since Shanti stepped in my sandbox, I'm going to go with the clothing because sometimes we work hard but to do carnal things with the money, you know. We push the carnal things ahead of the spiritual things, and we're looking at what's going on at the moment. We're not looking at what the outcome could be, you know. So I'm spending all this money on carnal things. I'm not taking care of business for God. And then when I turn around, I'm consistently working with a cluttered schedule, because all I'm doing is pushing carnality, which leads eventually, like Shanti said, to death, you know, and that's what it is. You know, you're trying to fill a void that's never going to be filled by doing carnal things, you know, but it's going to just carry you to an early grave.
Amen. Oh, my due time crew, you've come through big time today, and I thank you so much for your contribution into this issue of the difficulties that exist in families and having underlying ways of thinking about it differently as well as resolving these issues. Thank you so much, and I pray that you all have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You too. God bless everybody. God bless you.
Thank you. Alrighty. We had a full load, a second week in a row. Amen. We have a full due time crew roster. And the one thing I love about this crew is that you get a vast array of thinking. Let's read our benediction. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Let me read that again. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Oh, did we not just lay out all three stories? Did we not just lay out all those three stories? Live in peace, and peace will be with you. We're talking about the story of the surgeons, and one of our due time crew members mentioned we don't know what happened maybe in the early childhood, that relationship, and maybe there was some restoration that was needed. Do we know? Comfort one another. That's what grandma was trying to do. Agree with one another. Was that really going on? You know, there's a lot of supposition. There's a lot of possibilities. Again, like I always say, there are a lot of things that we don't see. But based on what we gave, we're looking at two hardworking people. They were accused of not knowing what hard work was. Well, I'm sorry. Last I checked, doctors gave up a whole lot of their early lives. A lot of your early life is done in school and internships and all kinds of stuff. And it's like for the first, 25, 26, 27, 30 years of your life, you don't have one because your head is buried in books. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know if you're being selfish, you know, jealous, if your children are really bratty. I do agree with Pastor Charlene. No, we got to do a little bit more than just get them grades. Because guess what? You getting good grades will only benefit you. It don't benefit me, you getting good grades. I didn't got my education, or I threw it away. But maybe coming from two surgeons, they know what focusing on education will do. How far focusing on education will get you. Maybe if they had it where, you know, they didn't have to do it that way, you know, they didn't have to focus on getting a job or whatever situation is, maybe their journey would have been a little bit different. So despite the fact that I do agree absolutely with we're going to have to pick up a broom, we need a chore list, we need something, and you just ain't going to be going to no school, I'm sorry. You know, life does work a little bit differently, especially for two surgeons. Then no, we're going to have to teach you a little bit more than just that. So, you know, gets a little complicated. We're talking about the young lady who is so beholding to her deceased father. And I don't say this in any level or manner of disrespect, but my brain goes where Minister AJ's brain goes. You have this dedication to the man who named you, to the man who donated the sperm, to the man who you were named after. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, do you know him? How much can you honestly be beholding to a man you don't know? How great he may have been, you know nothing about it, like Minister AJ said. But here was a man, like Shanti said, who God put it on his heart to walk you through life. Now, did you have to come through on the bratty side and, you know, call him a sperm donor and do the, no. Because if you honestly know God, then you know, as Shanti said, that you don't know where you're going to reap from. You only know where you've sown. So maybe the child, the woman would have a child, and somehow or another, the two of you would be close. So although you didn't get that closeness from the daughter, you would have a close grandchild. We don't know. We have no idea. And finally, everyone has coined the fisherman, which was pretty funny. Such a sad layer of focusing. Focusing on the Illuminati, focusing on the serpent DNA that the mother was supposed to have or possibly had, and you didn't want to run the risk of now succumbing by the hands of your own children, so you killed them first. Yeah, your mind was cluttered with the things of this world, not of the things of God. And this is what how God is showing us. When we do not meditate on his word day and night, when we do not seek him first, when we do not delight ourselves in the Lord, where we could possibly end up. See, he ended up with the fishing spear through the children's body and killing them. But how many of us are walking around dead? It's dead man walking because we've substituted the things of the world with the things of God with the things of this world, and we put the worldly thinking first. So there's a whole lot of comparison here, and the Due Times crew did a fantastic job of connecting the dots, and that's what God needs us to do: connect the dots of life, connect them to him, and you will never ever be sorry. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off? And I want to thank my time crew for helping us hold it down and kind of giving focus into different things, different possibilities. And I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us and hanging out with us today. Please put God first. Make Jesus your Savior today. Later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where it's Freestyle Friday and we get to do whatever we want to do. I love you.